Welcome to the HS Innkeepers Podcast. We're glad you found your way here.
And welcome to the Innkeepers Podcast. We are a podcast for innkeepers covering Hearthstone's fireside gatherings. With insight and information we hope all of our fellow innkeepers find useful. I'm Avantes from Knoxville, Tennessee.
I am Root from Orlando, Florida.
And I'm Illyri from Halifax in Canada.
Coming up here on episode number 31 of the Innkeepers Podcast, we have our news, we have our shares, and we have our reviews for you guys. Everything you can use as an innkeeper. And then we're going to be talking about... is there any way to make revenue for a venue with a free-to-play game like Hearthstone?
That's right. And before we get started, don't forget, for all of your Hearthstone Fireside Gathering needs, check out firesidegatherings.com. And of course, our number one go-to resource website, hsinkeepers.com. Lots of new cool stuff there for Witchwood as well. So if you're still running some Witchwood-themed Fireside Gatherings, definitely check out the new content on there for you to use.
That's right. But first, the news.
The music. I was like, wait.
That's it's looping in my head.
That's your new soundboard.
Yes, yes it is. It's all in your head, Illyri.
That's right. Yeah,
the big news is that one of co-hosters celebrated a birthday very recently.
Well, yours is coming up.
That's right. So I'm the only one that really gets to go off on this and say happy belated birthday to Root, whose birthday was last Friday, and happy upcoming birthday to Illyri. Yeah,
you're like stuck in the middle.
Yeah. Your birthday is when?
My birthday's already passed.
Yeah, you had it.
I don't have one until next year.
That's usually how that works. Funny though, isn't it?
So... But anyway, on to the news. So the big news this week is that those of you who know Nicole, also known as Glitch, we had her on the show just a few weeks ago. She was the esports community contact there at Blizzard. She made a post today in the Innkeepers Facebook group that says, "Dear Innkeepers, it's been a wonderful journey working with you on Hearthstone Esports Fireside Gatherings this past year and a half, and previously when I was an innkeeper myself." She says, "We grew together through changes to our tournament operations, our HCT ecosystem, and the broadening interest in creating live esports event experiences to celebrate Hearthstone. I've appreciated every one of you who have actively supported your local communities with your work and those who have reached out to assist, provide feedback, and been an integral part of grassroots esports. My role at Blizzard is changing, and moving forward, Kyle," and I know I'm going to probably butcher his last name, "is it Knudsen? Is the K silent? I don't know."
I'm going to go with yes.
Yeah.
Okay. "Kyle will be the one of your main points of contact as he takes over the daily operations of the HCT Challengers program." So she says, she goes on to say she'll allow him to introduce himself to the group, and "with great appreciation to each of you, Nicole." So she even was gracious enough to post some frequently asked questions for us. So she let us know she's not leaving Hearthstone. She's still going to be a part of the Hearthstone esports team, but she's going to be working on some super secret projects coming up. So some exciting stuff coming down the line from Glitch. And we want to thank her for all of the work she's done for us as the esports team contact, and wish her the very best in her new role.
And no matter what, whoever's replacing her is not going to be able to pull off the hair. Ain't going to happen.
Yeah, Kyle, you've got a big job in front of you to match that hairstyle. So
that's that hairstyle.
All right. So a little bit of housekeeping. Just a reminder, season 2 Tavern Hero qualifiers are currently underway. You have until June the 17th to run your events, which means your event, if you're planning to run an event on the 17th, it must be submitted no later than the 6th or 7th because you have that 10-day lead time. So mark your calendars. You have until June 6th or 7th to submit your events to run before the end of the season.
And that's only a couple weeks away, so.
That's correct. We're not that far out, so. All right. Breaking news is being typed as we speak.
Do you have a sound effect?
The main fireside role is Tavern versus Lich King. Okay. As you can see in the Moobot, I have now updated it in chat. I was looking at it like, why does that say April? Like, oh, because we've been offline for a couple of things, one of them being Summer Championships, and another for Avanti's to rest up. And you looking very well, my friend. I must say, you look
feeling very
perky,
well, too.
Good to go. Everything's good with you.
It's amazing how, you know, you remove a useless organ from the body and all of a sudden you feel so much better.
Yeah, funny that. Especially when it's misbehaving.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, now you're not going to be able to eat rocks.
That's true.
Yeah, that is. You're going to have to give that up.
Yeah, no more rocket for you.
You have to give up the rock biter nickname, too.
Yeah, no more rock biter.
I'll be honest, I haven't put rock biter in a shaman deck in a while, so.
Yeah, right. It is great. You back, and just to quickly touch on before we move on, Summer Championships. Yeah. Boy, that was fun. Out in Toronto with a couple of other innkeepers running that. It was a lot of fun. I know I've mentioned this before, but as an innkeeper, if you're looking to get into competitive events, there is opportunity to grow and have Blizzard possibly lean on you for events. We knew this year coming into it that they were taking more control over events, but they're still leaning on innkeepers to come in and help admin because it's what a lot of us have done, especially really competitive components of that. So definitely keep that in mind. And if anyone has any questions about any of that, I'm happy to talk and chat and kind of give you some insight on maybe what you can do to pursue competitive organizing specifically through firesides and stuff, because that's how I started. So. It can lead to a lot of things, for sure. And thank you to Little Red and Don Mee for coming out and helping with it. You guys are great. And I'm really sad Marspad couldn't make it because he was at the tour stop we did together because he's in Calgary and couldn't fly all the way back out. So that was sad. Would have been fun. He keeps his shoes on while he's working, so it's good.
There you go.
Well, that kind of ruins the dream.
You know what makes you know what make you feel better? Schwinghammer.
That does make me feel better.
So our top share of the week, O'Leary, why don't you tell us about that?
Speaking of Marspad, he was our top share of the week last week or last time we were on air, and he is the top share of the week this week as well. So Marspad, once again, great content coming from Calgary in Alberta. His post says, "Hey everyone, I've just finished a Universal Kahoot trivia for the Witchwood. Let me know if it needs any adjustments." He posted the link in our side event ideas Discord channel in the server. You can also !! Marspad Kahoot in chat for the direct link to it. To spell that, it's MarspadKahoot. And if you don't know what Kahoot is, it is a free online, basically open trivia game that you can build yourself and have people join by giving them a code. It's proved really fun and useful for firesides, especially around expansions. Just like what Marspad has done, making it Witchwood specific, you can lean on, you know, if you're doing a viewing party for the World Championships, you could have like questions about the people who have won before. You can really tie in a lot of different fun, unique trivia questions and categories for it. You can build it however you want. And We do get innkeepers sharing the ones that they've made with us in the server, and this one Marspad made. And I have yet to try it, but I'm sure it's good, because one of the last ones he made was very good as well. So thank you, Marspad, for that. I don't know if either of you have had a chance to check it out yet.
I have not, but I'm going to check it out tonight. I know we really enjoy using Kahoot at our events. It's just really cool. If you haven't used it before, it's really cool because everybody plays it on their own devices.
Right.
And you get points for being not just right, but being fastest to the right answer. They're always fun.
Yeah, so it
awards different types of points. And we always throw a little bit of a corkscrew in it where we'll put a completely subjective question and are like, you know, what class is OP? And you can set it so that any answer is correct. And it always just throws people for a loop. They're like, but they're all OP. So, I think we had one which was like, which one has not been Broed? And we had like three Ben Broed and then one guy who looked like Ben Broed. We do a lot of crazy stuff.
That's fun. All right. So, Root, why don't you tell us about that new innkeeper spotlight?
Sure. We talked to Mike Z from Fairfax, Virginia, my old stomping grounds. He says, hey, everybody, my name is Mike Zach. I'm going to say Zakic. Sorry if I mispronounce that. And I'm an innkeeper with the Cave Gaming Center in Fairfax, Virginia. If that sounds a little familiar, that is where Weva's from. Weva?
The reigning tournament team.
Tavern V Tavern
Tournament Champion. There we go.
I got to visit them. My in-laws live up in Fairfax. Like I said, it's my old stomping ground. I got to visit the cave, and it's a really cool spot. I think we told a story here years ago. The spot where the cave is where I used to get my haircut when I was a kid. So there you go. It says, I'm midway through my second year of running social fireside gathering events for the venue. The competitive side is run by Weva. And our HCT playoff events and that and competitive side is, like you said, run by Weva there. I have run four of our largest social events. World Championship viewing parties, HCT fireside side events, and he's attended over 10 regular and Tavern Hero events. He is currently running this for the business that's there, which is the Cave, but as a hobby, he's looking to get more involved with building Blizzard gaming communities at the venue and in the greater DC area. Excited to be here and learn from the best. Well, Mike Z, it is a pleasure to have you on board.
He's actually in chat right now, and he says his name is pronounced Zasek. So welcome, Zasek. Great to have you in chat. And Kyle actually is chat from Blizzard, our new contact through the Challenger program. So this is a good night for chat. Welcome, everyone. Thanks for being here. And of course, we're going to say a big welcome to our other new joins since we were last on air. We have Kyle from Rockton, Illinois. We have Mykonos from Davis in USA. I think it's California. Spiro from Alkmaar in the Netherlands, and Caloguru, who we don't know where he's from yet, but he's new in the server, and these guys, you know, you're new. If you guys have questions, it's always so fun for us to interact with new innkeepers and to see what you guys have been doing, you know, in your own little corner of the fireside gathering world. So we love to see the new stuff you've been doing. Welcome and well met to all of the new community joins. I like this new soundboard. This is great. We need cues.
All right. So I guess that brings us to our main topic of the night. And the topic is there any way to make revenue by hosting a free-to-play game? So this was really kind of prompted by a question from Garrisar. And from Victoria, British Columbia in Canada, says, so I went out today to a few local gaming shops with some flyers to promote my tavern. I met one enthusiastic shop owner who wants to collaborate this year once he does some renovations. The one concern he has is there's little to no revenue that his shop gets from hosting a Hearthstone Fireside Gathering tournament. Have any of you had this issue or concern? Well, it just so happens, yes, I have. When I first started hosting Fireside Gatherings, I was using a small nonprofit venue here in Knoxville that only really had enough room for about a dozen people. And as we continued to grow, I knew I was going to need to find another venue. So I actually went out and started talking to game shops because they're kind of set up for groups to sit around a table and play. And so I went in and I started talking to shop owners and was met with this same concern. So, you know, you guys are going to be taking up my space. How are we going to compensate your time, the time and space that you're taking? How are we going to offset this? And I'm like, maybe they'll buy food and drinks, you know, because a lot of these little shops sell candy bars and whatnot, but there's no real revenue in that for a game store. They make their money selling cards, which they can't really do with Hearthstone. So, and I'm going to be honest, my situation, I talked to four different shop owners before I went in and met a gentleman by the name of Steven, who runs a game store here in Knoxville. And turns out he was as big a fan of Hearthstone as I was. And he was super excited about the fact of having people come play Hearthstone at his store for no other reason than there are people playing Hearthstone. And so I feel like I got really lucky and finding someone who's almost like a kindred spirit and enjoys it as much as I do. He runs Magic tournaments. He runs Pokemon leagues. He does all that normal stuff that you would expect a card shop owner to do. But then, you know, once a month or whatever, he lets us just come in, take over his space, and go. Now, there have been, I have to be flexible. I mean, I'm using the space at no charge to me and no charge to him. You know, he's not making anything. So I have to be flexible as the innkeeper. There have been a couple of times where he and I will get together, we'll schedule an event a month or two out, and then he'll call me like 3 weeks before the event and be like, hey, there's a big pre-release this weekend. We didn't know about it at the time we scheduled your event. Can we move it? And as the innkeeper, you just have to go, you know, yes, sir, you want to maintain these relationships and find a good time and let your patrons know. I mean, you have to work with the shop owner once you find one. And that's my best advice I can give you is be flexible. You know, if you schedule something and they call you and tell you, hey, we can't do it this weekend, is that okay? You can't pitch a fit about it because, like I said, a lot of, they're letting me use the space for free. So I have to do what I have to do to keep that relationship. O'Leary, do you have a story about venues?
Yeah. I kind of had a similar situation in my hometown here in Halifax when I first started out. At the time, I was working at a gaming bar that had opened, kind of a lounge type area. And then it closed down. Excuse me. So I moved to a magic shop, which I think a lot of innkeepers have found can be a very just a useful venue to use because, like you said, they have a bunch of tables. It's set up for tournament card play. But there is that factor of, you know, how can the venue make money? And I guess just in the situation here, as long as it's not on a pre-release weekend, like you also mentioned, they would give me the venue for free. And because it brings people in and because a lot of those players like play Magic as well, it's getting people there, it's awareness for the store, and it's also, you know, they're happy to see the place being used because otherwise it would be dead. Well, not dead, but just like there would be maybe one table of people, whereas we can fill like six or seven tables. They had snacks, but nothing too crazy, and it definitely wasn't a revenue stream for them. But it was funny. There was literally a door that connected to a burger place next door, and the patrons got a discount of 10%. So setting things up like that too, you're actually benefiting two businesses at that point, which, you know, it just helps in general. And then in the big city, it was a lot harder to find a free venue. got in with, again, a newly opened gaming bar that had like 3,000 square feet. And it was fine for a while. We would be there for free once a week on Thursdays. But then when they started to grow more as a business, even though they weren't getting busy on that day, they were going to start asking for like a couple hundred dollars for like a six hour window when, excuse me, I wasn't charging anything. Like, I was making no money. I was actually running like tournaments for free. So it wasn't even like, hey, I'm making money off the space. It was like a pure community thing. And personally, I felt like the venue should, I feel like gaming venues should in general, where they can, give spaces for free to community so that they can grow, because you're bringing in your direct target market. It is a form of advertising, because when they're out and about, where are they going to want to go? Like, oh, that cool like gaming spot I know through Fireside Gatherings. But that was, that venue specifically was more of like a bar, restaurant kind of feel. It wasn't like a gaming magic shop, which it would be a different, you know, a different tactic you have to take. But I've been lucky and unlucky. Wi-Fi and internet is just always the issue. But I think it truly is about building a good rapport and a good relationship with the owners, that when things come up, you know, they want to help you just because, you know, you're a nice person and your community is nice. But it can be really hard. So it's a struggle that I feel like all of us go through, is it's the venue. You know, if you have enough space, and, you know, if you don't have enough space and you're going to shell out for a bigger space, can you guarantee people will fill it? Will it be worth the money? So, yeah, it's hard, but you make it work for what you need, I guess.
Yeah, good points all around. Really good points. Yeah.
Root, how about you? I know you've had a few venues.
You've had a few venues. so when we go back to the genesis of Florida Fireside, myself and Amy, of course, Amy now works at for Blizzard. And she and I both had a very, very negative experience at a venue. And I was like, you know what? That was a horrible experience. And the only way I know to fix that experience is to actually start hosting these myself. At that same time, I got a notification through Meetup that someone was starting Florida Fireside. And I contacted Amy and I said, look, if you're going to do this, we need to do it right. And she, turns out, was at the same venue and had the same negative experience I did. Now, she worked for a software development company downtown Orlando. And right across the hall, basically, from her office was a co-working space. Her business was embedded in that co-working space as well. So we were able to use the co-working space on weekends to actually host our events, which was nice to a degree. We first started off, we fought the Wi-Fi issues because the location just wasn't set up for Hearthstone. We upgraded everything to Ubiquiti Wi-Fis and Ubiquiti routers. We just upgraded their entire infrastructure, and it was wonderful. There was at one point in time in that same building, there was it was like a health food store. They kind of went out of business, but while they were there, we definitely kept them busy. Luckily for us, we have plenty of venues because it's downtown Orlando. So there's a lot of places that you can go grab a bite to eat or that will deliver to us. So food was always brought in, or we had people bring in their own food because we had an entire kitchen in the back of the place as well. So that was not a biggest issue. One of the things we got to do was when we have a captive audience, we would stand up and do a little bit of an advertisement for somebody, you know, someone's business, particularly the business that Amy worked at that was giving us that space for free. We would also promote the actual co-working space. And if there was somebody there who was working at the co-working space and whose business, because it's kind of like a startup area, if their business had anything to do at all, if I could find a way to allow them to address the crowd, I would find a way to allow them to address the crowd. And it worked out really well for some people. There are a lot of great business relationships for them because, hey, someone showed up at one of our fireside gatherings and met someone who was actually working downtown. So that worked out really well to for our advantage. Then Amy left. She went to go work for Blizzard. And while that's great for her, it was not good for our our fireside, scheduling became an issue. Communications became an issue. So now I was forced to find another venue. And that was a little bit of a chore. You start moving around, looking around, trying to find places. Luckily, about probably 2 months before this all, before I knew my welcome was kind of worn out, so to speak, Full Sail University, which is a game, video, production, movie production, esports, the whole nine yards. It's a college here in Orlando. I hosted a fireside gathering for a very, very large event there in what has to be, in my opinion, one of the most beautiful venues I could possibly host at. And I got with the event coordinator and I said, I want to do this on a monthly basis. I want to come here and I want to use your space on a monthly basis. And she said, great, I'll get you the price sheet. I went, no, you don't understand. I don't want to pay for it. And she came back. She's, you don't want to pay. I said, no, I don't want to pay. It's a free event. And she's like, well, the only possible way this could possibly be a free event is if I gave you, you know, students to actually work your event. Because remember, I said it's a, you know, movie production college. So part of the graduation requirements of these students is to actually work a certain number of live events. And I went, that's great. Give me a staff. I'd be glad to have them.
So the downside to you getting a free event space was
yes.
You have to take a staff.
This is why Masochus hates you.
Oh.
Yeah. So I get this is really cool though. So it's a college, it's a working college, and I get usually 2 to 3 students, and it's always been the same 2 to 3. I'm losing one because he's about to graduate. Robbie, best of luck to you, buddy. The guy is awesome. So they'll come in, they set up my lighting, they set up the sound. I mean, I have like, it's like legit lighting. I've got videos of it. It's a club. They can downright make it into, you know, the bump of the music and everything else. they run extra power for me into the building. Everything. It is absolutely phenomenal. The only thing they don't do is anything I bring in as an innkeeper, like signage or like Wi-Fi signs. So they actually set the Wi-Fi up for me ahead of time too. Now, the beauty of this is we always tell people just to go down the hall to what's kind of down the same strip mall where this college is, and there's a Firehouse Subs there. We keep Firehouse Subs really busy. That's pretty much the only thing that's in that location. Now, the flip side of this is that sounds really cool and really good. I've been approached by a couple of venues to actually host a fireside gathering at that venue. And I have a lot of prerequisites. You know, it's one of those things like at one point in time, I really had this vision that I was building a brand with Florida Fireside. And I, in a way, still feel that way. And I think we all feel that way with our respective ends. And our next episode's a musical. Thanks, Marshpad. So the venue I went into simply was not set up in any way, shape, or form. And they missed out on the fact that they had really bad Wi-Fi. So that's strike number one. Strike number two is they didn't have a lot of power, so not a lot of places for people to plug in. Strike number three didn't have a lot of places for people to even sit down. And then strike number four is it wasn't a very large venue. We'd end up spilling outside. And they're like, oh, no, we'll just open all the doors. I'm like, yeah, it's Orlando, Florida. It gets hot and humid. And no. So it was a difficult pill for this venue owner to swallow. Like, he's got a really cool location, and it's just not set up a Hearthstone event. So I've had to actually turn a venue down. So we've had issues. We've all had issues. And I want people to understand that there is no such thing as a perfect venue. For instance, I mean, that's all well and good that I have a very cushy setup. And I admit it, it's a very cushy setup at Full Sail University. I can't do my scheduling recurring. So every month I have to struggle to find out what day I can have my events on. So that is whereas before when we were at Canvas, which is now called Starter Studio, that was a regular recurring event, and there was no big deal. Now we have to work on an event, make sure it doesn't conflict with anybody else's Hearthstone event in town. There's a lot of things that requires a lot of extra administrative work. So there's goods and bads to just about everything. Now, Snowbeast has a question here. I'm going to ask it real quick. He says, how do you leverage the marketing strategy and tools of the venues themselves to help push your fireside just beyond putting a stick on the front window? And that is fantastic. That's going to roll right into some of the things that I have listed down on our notes here. One of the things that I want people to understand, actually two of the things I want people to understand here real quick.
is that if the venue that you are going to be hosting at doesn't understand what they themselves are getting into, they're going to lose money. And they're not going to be happy, and you're not coming back. It is your responsibility as an innkeeper to adequately explain to them exactly what they're getting into, and then explain to them how they can make money on it. It is the responsibility of the venue to make money, 100%. That is 100% on them. If it's a deal where they have to make money, a restaurant, a bar, any place that's going to be, you know, revenue generated, that is their responsibility to make that money. However, I strongly feel that it is the innkeeper's responsibility to make sure that the venue has the avenue and the tools to make the money they need to make. We had a horrible experience with a restaurant in Tampa. We set up. We thought it was going great. We thought everything was just fantastic. The servers were really nice to us. The servers were nice to the people that we had coming into the location. Here recently, in fact, this month, we were going to try to do another event at that location. We reached out to them, and they said, oh, hell no, y'all ain't coming back. And they were serious to say, we had a miserable time when you guys were here. Everybody lost money, and you're just, no, you're not coming back. This is not the venue for you. So, yeah, it was one of those things. When we were there, it was all good and dandy. And when we left, it was not good. So a couple of things you need to explain to your venue, and we'll take some turns on this one, guys. So you want to let them know exactly how long you anticipate the event to run. We have a time limit, 8 hours. So I always tell people at least 8 hours is what I'm looking into. And they have to understand how that's going to fit into their revenue model, how you can help them with the revenue model. You need to let them know the amount of people you're going to have. If it, you know, at least 16, 32, 64, however many people have RSVP. Sometimes I half that. I always try to keep the venue in the loop if I have changes to my numbers out there to do it. I also want to let them know the foot traffic. I like to have a good rapport with the people who come to my firesides. I know that, hey, if I've got someone who's going to be dropping their kid off, or wife or spouse is going to drop their other significant other off or meet them there, whatever, I want them to be sure that they understand that there's additional foot traffic that's going to come with that player. So they understand it's not just a person who's going to be sitting down, but it's people who might be doing some shopping as well. And I need to let them know that, hey, for this 8 hours, by the way, you have, if let's just say I've got 16 people coming to my fireside event, that's 16 people that are going to be sitting there for 8 hours. And in between matches and when they're waiting for the next match, they are a captive audience, which means I get to advertise to them. And that is something that they, the venue owner, has to completely understand. Avanti, take this next step. And if you have any issues, just I'll jump in if you're confused. But I think it's pretty straightforward here.
Some of the other things that you as the innkeeper need to understand from your venue host. Do they have any house rules for the venue? Meaning, are they going to want to charge a venue fee to just to get into the building? You know, some places, especially like restaurants and bars and things, can charge like a $5 venue fee just to go get in the building. And that's perfectly fine for them. That's a way they can offset the revenue. Can people bring food or drink outside into the venue? Or like in the case of, you know, running it at a restaurant, probably not, because they're going to want you to buy that there. At a game store, it's probably not as big a deal. They'll probably let you bring food and drink in from outside. It's one of those things you want to know beforehand so you can tell your players. Is there a purchase minimum? So like, say you're having your event at a bar. Is there so many drinks that the venue expects the players to buy? If so, is that minimum per hour, or is that minimum for the entire time they're there? You know, what items they may have available for sale or consumables. Again, like we talked about, game stores usually have a snack bar. They'll have chips. They'll have candy bars. They'll have drinks. You know, make sure that you know what they have available so you can communicate that to your patrons. How much do they expect to make in revenue, if anything? You know, like I said, this as I said earlier, this was a big deal for some of the other venue hosts that I talked to. And then some others, it's not a big deal. So you want to know that before you go in. And also, and this is extremely important, I host events at a tavern, a real tavern here in Knoxville. And due to state regulations, you have to be 21. They card you at the door. You can't get into the venue if you're under 21. So, you know any limitations that may be in place with the venue, whether it's age restriction or time restriction or how many people the venue can hold before the fire marshal comes in and shuts you down. Those are all very important things to know prior to hosting your event as well. O'Leary?
Yeah, and, you know, speaking on what both of you have covered, the main, once you have all that information, you know, the main thing that you need to do is to make your community aware. I know I haven't personally had this with a venue before where there is a minimum purchase, but oftentimes in the Discord, people have that with their venue prearranged, but they get, you know, a voucher or something, like they have a system set up. So if that's happening, you need to make your community aware. It's not always a bad thing either, you know. Definitely try and frame any potential negatives in a big of a positive light as you can, especially if it is a restrictive event, like 21 only, or 21 and no, 21 only. Wow, that'll be a very specific part of the Fireside Gathering patron market. But, you know, if they are going to be too young to come, you know, you want to focus on maybe, you know, hey, you know, if you're not able to make it to this one, like we will be having an all ages one in the coming months, like keep an eye out for that. You know, there are going to be restrictions, especially with venues specifically. So even if you're restricted, just try and make it positive and make sure that your patrons know ahead of time, as far ahead of time as possible. And also do that with your venue owner. You know, if the responses on your page triple the day of the event or the day before leading up to it, you know, give them that heads up. They're going to want to probably bring in another server and to try and facilitate your event. You want to set both your patrons and your venue, whoever you're working with there, to have the best time they can. And really that's just a management of the information to make sure that people know things ahead of time as much as possible, and just to make sure that people know the expectations and what you know, is kind of within their realm of what they can. I said venue owner, Marspad. Wow, sorry, chat's going. Apparently I say something funny. But yeah, it's about expectations, and when people feel like expectations are met, that's when people have a good time and then they'll come back again. So yeah, I think it's just always different with every venue. It's so hard to kind of say this is how you do it because the venues are different, the area is different, the people are different. You never really know what you're walking into. But with that innkeeper mindset of we're going to make it work and have a good time, it kind of helps, I find.
So I do want to stress expectations. You have to understand what the venue expectations are, and you need to communicate those expectations to your patrons, and you have to let them know what to expect. I recently went through an issue where we guest innkeeped, if that's a word, at a location, at a venue who had been struggling to get their fireside going. This is right after NIMSY came out, by the way. In fact, NIMSY came out like that weekend. Saturday I did my event, Sunday I did this event, hosted a tournament there, and as soon as we get the tournament going, the guy goes and starts collecting money and telling people that they charge for their tournaments. And it was like, whoa, time out, that's we can't, you know. It became a very tense moment of me talking to the venue owner going, this was not established, we didn't talk about this, my people don't know about it, and that's a blind side. And so you have to be very, very careful with things like that happen. So very, very carefully manage those expectations. But real quick, here's your bullet list when your venue owner says, how am I going to make money? This is a free game. I don't understand how I'm going to make money on this. You're like, absolutely, you're right. It's a free game. Here's how you can make money on it. You're going to put a person in the door. You're going to cover. You can do a cover charge. Blizzard says you can't pay to be in a tournament, but you can cover do a cover charge. Correct me if I'm wrong on that one, guys, but I believe that's the last thing I read. So they can come through the door, and boom, you get $5. So, you know, $5 ahead to come through the door. As long as you people are aware that's going to happen, then people are okay with that. Let them know that, hey, you can have a minimum, but give specials. Maybe it's like a one drink for an hour. Maybe it's a one food item for every 2 hours. But make it fun. Don't just say, hey, you have to order a drink. Theme it. You know, get a little creative with it. You know, that particular beverage can be called anything under the sun. You can theme it to Witchwood and, you know, make it a green drink or make it look like, you know, something out of Witchwood. Theme it. People love themes. They'll buy stuff. You know, serve everything in a on a kettle or something. It works. You can do coupons. This is an idea that I like doing. You hit an owner up and you say, we're going to do coupons, but we're going to do coupons in the form of coupons that they can win. So your patrons can win a discount by answering trivia questions or doing something. A lot of times we give away raffle tickets. Well, why don't we give away a drink coupon, a 2-for-1, something where they still have to buy something and then you can still make money. So instead of saying, hey, you got a raffle ticket, I go, hey, you just got a drink coupon. Cool. It's a 2-for-1. Go get one. You get another one for free. Awesome. People love free stuff. You can also tell that venue owner that, hey, you can reach out and you can get sponsors to come in here and throw stuff up on your wall. Microsoft loves to sponsor stuff. They have banners. They got boxes of banners. And they love bringing their banner and handing you the banner. And so we'll give you money if you put this banner up on the wall. That banner stays on the wall for 8 hours. Everybody sees Microsoft's propaganda, and they love it. Advertising, I should probably say, instead of propaganda. But anyhow, you get the point. They see it up there. It's in their face for 8 hours. A bunch of people love doing this. One of my favorite sponsors, they've been a sponsor since day one for me, is Red Bull. They love sponsoring our events. We're low-key to them. I do most of the work. I go pick up the Red Bull, stock my car. They used to bring the Red Bull girls out, and then they realized that kind of it was disruptive. It stopped the entire tournament when the Red Bull girls show up. It's
– No.
Yeah.
What? Because,
wow.
Yeah, it's all of a sudden.
Rebel, you know, girls and nerds? What?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, so now I just go pick up the cases of Red Bull. I'm like, Lee, yeah, let the Red Bull girls team do whatever they want to do. We just want the beverage. And then we make a big deal about it. We do a big display. We talk about it. We tell people there's free Red Bull. We give them all the PR that they want. It's awesome. I talked about it before. You get sponsor mentions. If they have Coke as one of their, you know, sponsors at the restaurant, they could open the fountains for free and just plug Coke, tell Coca-Cola, hey, we want you to cover our day. And for that, we will announce and give away free Cokes and all your Coke beverages, but every hour we'll talk about Coke products. So there's a lot of, you just have to be creative on this. Cards and takeaways. We've talked about flyers a couple times already today, and this kind of started with the guy, the original the OP, if you will, saying he's taking flyers around. Well, there's no reason that you as a venue can't have a flyer or a takeaway for people to take with them and go, look, I know you're here to play Hearthstone, but we offer so much. We have family game night. We have food. We have beverages. Whatever it is that venue normally is really, really good at, allow them someone to take something away. And, you know, hey, here's a coupon for your next visit. Please come back. People pay, like, minimum wage or something. People walk around in canvas parking lots and put coupons on car windshields that end up on the parking lot floor. If you're talking to someone in your venue and you hand them a coupon, you are making that contact with that person. You're saying, please come back. Here's a coupon. I want you to come back. And it works really, really, really well. Remember, you as an innkeeper can make it interesting. Avantes, I'm going to throw this over to you because I know that you love doing this stuff right here.
All right, so as he said, you make it interesting. So, you know, drunk stone is a thing, you know, where, like I said, I run an event at a bar once every quarter, usually 21 and up. They pretty much only serve beer, and you can have, there's some really cool games that you can play, where, say, you know, whoever has the coin has to take a shot or take a drink. You know, there's just some really cool games you can play around that. And quest logs. quest logs are so much fun. I've done fireside gatherings with quest logs in the past. You know, you can have like find a bobblehead, or you can order an appetizer and you get a quest completion. You know, if you order a certain meal, you get a quest. There's just all kinds of things you can really do with quest logs that really ups the experience for the patron and makes it a lot more fun for everybody involved, including you as the innkeeper. So we do have a question from Snow Beast in chat. He says, how do you guys get accurate RSVP counts to give to the venues? Are Facebook events pretty reliable for you guys that are linked from the Fireside official website? And the answer is no. I do all of my events. I run a Facebook group for the Knoxville Hearthstone players that's almost 300 members. I post all of my events there just so people are aware. And the problem with Facebook is they really give you three options: going, interested, and can't go. I've found that most people that mark going, a lot of times 90% of them will show up. The people who mark interested, maybe 10% of them will show up. Maybe. It's very unreliable at best. And honestly, I personally have found no real way of guaranteeing numbers for people to RSVP. It always feels like it's just a crapshoot.
Yeah, the closest for that we have come is using Battlefy and requiring people to sign up for a tournament. I only count my tournament people as RSVP. Everybody else is fluff. So I give my venue the minimum. I say I have, if I have a tournament of, 24 people, I say, hey, I've got 24 people coming. If 50 show up, that's fine. We're ready for it. But I'm telling, I never give them access. We use Meetup and we use Battlefy. And we use some other things, but I don't know. I count anything from Facebook. Rely a little bit on Meetup's RSVP, but rely heavily on Battlefy. So as long as Battlefy tells me I have people in a tournament, that's what I tell the venue my number is.
Yeah, I've played around quite a bit with Facebook. Like I did boost posts and things like that. So generally what I was finding was that I would get way more people than anyone who responded on Facebook. But what I started to do is to do a giveaway for like a pop figure. So if you marked yourself as going to the event before this date, you would enter into a draw for the pop final, the figurine. And but the kicker was you had to be at the event to get it. And if you didn't show up by the end of the event, we would just roll for someone who was there for it, who had done the previous RSVP.
Illyria, I'm going to suggest you do something slightly modified to that because we do the same thing. However, we award them for showing up on time at the start of the event when they say they're going to be there for it, if they're in the tournament.
Yeah. So, in the tournament for sure.
And that's one of the things we do. We actually, if we don't do, we do a drawing for everybody. If we say, hey, doors open at 10, registration is 10:15. At 10:20, I'm doing a drawing. That's my first drawing. Everybody's registered. If you're late, I'm sorry, you missed the first drawing. And it's usually a really good prize.
Yeah, definitely do an incentive to get people there early. Like starting trivia half an hour after doors open, that'll get people there like pretty soon. I used to run that later, but I found running that earlier would get people in.
Mm-hmm.
But now, I don't know, the one time it was off was NEMZI.
NEMZI doesn't count.
No, but it was like the RSVP was like 40 something and like 80 people came through the doors. Like, well, how do you know? But it's because they're using NEMZI
is a outlier. An acronym. At best.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited to one day, hopefully, have on the Fireside Gatherings website at least a view count on the page, but potentially a like planning on attending count. I think that if Blizzard could implement that, It would really help us prepare a lot better. As Marspad said in chat, the problem with Facebook is it is becoming, I don't know if it's becoming outdated, but there are plenty of people who don't want to have it. I feel like I'm slowly going towards that, but I have to have it. Like, family around the world, I gotta have it. But I do feel like, you know, a lot of people really don't. And it would be a lot better to be able to rely on a Blizzard site for fireside gatherings for that kind of data. I think it would be really cool. So hopefully we can see something like that in the future.
I agree. That would be awesome. All right. So I guess that's going to do it for this week. So to recap this episode, we talked about our venues, you know, how to best find a venue and work with the owner to be able to have a good event, and big news on the esports community side. Again, welcome, Kyle. We're excited to work with you, and good luck to Nicole in your future events.
One thing I will add just really quickly, I guess, as we're recapping, you know, if whether you're listening to this podcast today or whether you're listening to it anytime in the future.
Hey, Illyri. Yeah. Any day you listen to it is today.
But May 22nd, 2018, or any other day, you know, whether you're experienced or completely new to Fireside Gatherings and wanting to run them at a venue, if you're having any questions or concerns or just, you know, want to actually talk one-on-one with someone else about this stuff, you know, ask in the Discord server. There are always people there. We have a venue chat, like a channel dedicated to this kind of talk. So I know we covered a lot of bases with this, but we all know every venue is so different. So, you know, if you have questions or if you would appreciate, you know, just talking to other people about maybe getting some help for your situation, you know, feel free to use the community, and people are just so happy to help. It's a great community. So don't be afraid to reach out if you have, even if it seems like a silly, obvious question, you just want to be sure. Everyone here is here to support everyone else. So definitely reach out in the Discord server for that kind of stuff too.
Absolutely. Keep in mind that everybody's in different time zones around the world. So if you get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, it's quite possible someone else is up and ready to answer.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think Swinghammer sleeps at all. Never. So
only when someone at everyone's
swing.
Oh,
that's the only time, and he gets woken.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. Illyri, why don't you tell people where they can find you online?
You can find me at Illyri, A-L-E-I-R-R-I, Twitter and Twitch. And then my Instagram is linked on my Twitter as well. Root, how can people find you on the socials?
You can look for me at Hearthcast Root. I do another little show called Hearthcast and a number of other shows, including Make the Nation, which is a fantastic podcast about the nation of makers. So if you're into anything making, like you go to Maker Faires or anything else, check out Make the Nation. We'll be posting some websites and stuff on that soon, Tim. We're setting up the websites here shortly. But we'll be out at NomCon in Santa Fe coming up here next month. So it's going to be a fantastic time. We're actually building a almost 7-foot-tall 3D printed, crowdsourced 3D printed Rosie the Riveter statue, which is pretty awesome. Wow. If you want to check out anything about that, check out WeTheBuilders.com. I think they've already closed the dates for getting a piece, but it's been an awesome, awesome project. I actually got to spend the day here at my makerspace about 16 hours helping people 3D print little pieces or large pieces of Rosie the Riveter. It was totally awesome.
Very cool.
And Mr. Avantes, where can people find you, sir?
Well, obviously, on the Twitterverse, I am Avantes HS. Every Tuesday night, right here on the Innkeeper Podcast, and every Wednesday night, also on Twitch, doing the Hero Power Podcast, where we talk about all things Hearthstone community and game related. So the Innkeeper Discord, if you guys are not already members, you need to do so by going to bit.ly/HSInnkeepers. And make sure you, all these great resources we've talked about today, most of them can all be found at hsinkeepers.com. But make sure you also check out Blizzard's official resources at resources.firesidegatherings.com. And we have one quick sick thing from Aliri.
I just want to show this, and I want to give a shout out to Bites. I don't think he's in chat tonight, but it was, I think the first time I saw it was when he made this a while ago, a big version of Mego face. So I have a little version from which I have put Illyria on it, and it has little bags, which I'm going to get printed stickers as well. So have fun, guys. Make,
if you're not cool, familiar with what that is, it's a game called Cornhole or Bag Toss or Bags, Bago. It goes by a lot of different names in different areas around the world.
Bago.
Yep.
That sounds like the Aussie version. It's the old bago.
So,
but yeah, I've been meaning to do that for a while. So I just wanted to share my little thing that I did.
That's pretty awesome.
It's actually really fun. The players at playoffs were getting tricky. They were trying to do it like backwards, like over them. Like, you guys are fun. But yeah, it was good. Good time. Little things like that. They're cute.
Yeah, it all helps. It all works, man. It's all great. And you did a really, really good job on that. So that's grats on that.
All right. Well, as always, as we close out the show this week, we want to thank all of you who joined us in chat. We also want to thank all of you listening at home or on your drive, your daily commute. You know, we greatly appreciate you taking time to listen to us every week, and we hope you take something away from each of these shows to make your fireside gatherings and your venues a little bit better for your patrons.
I only want to thank the people who are listening today.
But they're all listening today, Root.
Yeah, if you're listening today.
Wow! I fell for it. How did this just happened. I'm tired.
All right, guys. We'll see you all again, hopefully next week, barring any medical emergencies.
Yeah, that's right. Take care, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the HS Innkeepers podcast. For legendary resources and more, go to hsinnkeepers.com.
Swinghammer.